everybody. How you doing? This is Glenn Coble, and you're listening to On the Air with Glenn Coble today. And I just wanted to thank all of you for tuning in. Scott had an interesting bunch of tickets that he gave away, and I've got those tickets here. So if you're interested in picking them up, stop down here. I think I'll be here till about 1 o'clock, so you can come knock on the door. Don't knock on the door. Just come in quietly, and I'll hand them to you. Somehow or other, I'll get off the air. I have a guest. Maybe I'll just have him wing it. But just stop on down, and I've got your tickets ready for you. We also are going to give away a set of tickets to Drew Hill, Raheem Devon, and I'm not real alert to those people. They do rhythm and blues, from what I understand. This also includes fair admission. I'm going to give those tickets away probably midway during the this hour, and we're going to give them away to a person that can answer a naturalist question, which was given to us, and I got to find his phone or his microphone, given to us by James Anderson. Hey, James, you're here. Oh, that's the wrong one. Go ahead. Try. Oh, my goodness.
Hello.
There we go. It's you're on number four today.
Number four.
Number three.
Awesome.
All right. And James is the Marion County Naturalist, and he joins us every last Thursday of every month, and we talk about all sorts of stuff. We've already had a show this morning. You didn't get to hear it because James and I were doing it on our own, but we'll go back over some of that stuff. He gave me some really interesting information, but he also brought in a buddy. Now, I thought he was going to bring in Jonah, but Jonah had to be elsewhere, so we're going to wing it straight with Jason. Why am I having trouble with my brains?
It's all right.
James. James and I are going to wing it without him today. So, what was going on with Jonah?
Now, Jonah, I think he had a physical today for his cross country.
Oh,
for
yeah,
his
that's
sports,
right. So, he's a cross country guy.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, good. Okay. Well, I hope he I'm sure he will successfully pass that. He's about as skinny as a rail.
Yes, he's very small.
Looks very healthy.
Yes.
I hate him. no, I don't really. He was a very nice young man, and you're lucky to have him, I think.
Oh, yes. I was very blessed to have him this summer.
Well, tell our listeners who you brought in with you today.
Yes, yeah, so she's anxious to come out. But
does she have a name?
Yes, her name is Pumpkin.
Pumpkin.
Yes, my
great name for
my 6-year-old son named her that. So.
And I'm not afraid of her. I actually have touched her already. So.
Yes, she's very cute. We really love her.
Yeah.
So yes, Pumpkin here is a Russian tortoise.
Oh, does she speak Russian?
Maybe. So yes, within her name, yes, she is not from Ohio. She is from southern Russia, mostly Asia, Iraq, Iran region. That's where they're typically found, out in the wild, but they are part of the pet industry, so you are allowed to buy them, like from Petco and other pet stores. She actually came from Jonah, my intern, last summer. Cool. He rescues in reptiles that people don't want, and then he tries to rehome them, and we were saying we were looking for a tortoise, and he said, yeah, I have a Russian tortoise at my house that I'm trying to find a new home, and he says, would you guys like her? And I said, sure. And so we've had her for almost a year.
She looks very comfortable in your hands.
Oh, yes. She loves getting out. She actually throws a fit if she does not get to roam around our house.
Oh.
And she's actually my wife's class pet at the Tomorrow Center. We have a rabbit and Pumpkin here. And, yes, Pumpkin was really funny in my wife's classroom. She runs and, well, not runs, but crawls and crawls around. But she never goes outside the door, and she goes sometimes right at the edge, and she knows, oh, well, I better start turning around.
Really? She's learned that?
Yeah, she's basically have learned her boundaries.
How do you know she's a girl?
So for
not that I want you to get terribly descriptive.
Yeah. One of the ways for tortoises and turtles is if you look at the tail, if they're more fatter, that's typically means they're females. If they're more narrow, more skinnier, that's typically more males.
Okay.
Because, I mean, for females, they need it wider because they need it, obviously, to push out eggs.
Yeah, sure. Of course. And she doesn't have one of her paws, right?
She doesn't. No. Jonah, like I said, he rescued her. I'm not sure the full background, but what he told me, I guess she didn't come from a very good home. They didn't take care of her, probably didn't have proper lighting, things like that. And unfortunately, it either fell off, or I'm not sure if another critter was with her and it bit it off.
Yeah.
Something in that nature. So, yeah, she only has three claws.
But she can walk around. It looks like it's fairly long.
Oh, my goodness, yes. She loves crawling around.
Why don't you describe her a little bit?
Yeah, so she is pretty dome-shaped. Her coloration is kind of a molted brown color.
She's about 6 inches, 7 inches long, would
yes,
you say?
Yeah. In the wild, they get about 6 to 8 inches. So they're not a very large tortoise. First, a lot of tortoises can get a lot bigger, like the Gallipolis tortoise. I mean,
yeah.
Those guys, I mean, just stretching out, they can be almost 4 feet tall.
And they're not from Gallipolis, Ohio, right?
No, no. Okay. And those guys can live for a very, very long time. Yeah. They can live up to, as of now with the oldest one, I think it's close to 300 years old.
Oh, my.
Now, these guys, the Russian tortoise, they don't live typically that long, but they can live up to 50 years or so, which
wow.
is pretty good.
Yeah.
Size, or length. But Jonah, he thinks, based on her size, he thinks that she is probably somewhere between 2 to 5 years old. So she's okay. relatively very young. So my wife and I were laughing the other day that she's going to outlive probably her and I. So our son's going to have to take care of her when we pass away. So.
Well, my wife and I bought a little puppy, Buddy, and we bought him exactly as long as we hoped that we will live.
Yeah.
We figure he can live up to maybe 18 years, and that's what we're giving ourselves.
Okay.
Let tip him up so I can see his shell. Not yeah. the underside, the top side.
Oh, the top side, yeah.
Yeah, it's really, when you think of tortoise shell, his looks like tortoise shell.
It does, yeah. And most tortoises are typically that kind of tannish brown color.
Yeah.
Most of our turtles, like here in Ohio, are more typically a dark black color.
What's the difference between a tortoise and a turtle?
Well, thank you for asking.
Okay.
Yes, that's what we were definitely going to talk about. So basically, the big thing is habitat, where they are primarily found, and their lifestyle. Turtles, most turtles are primarily aquatic or semi-aquatic, so that means
and
that
tortoises go out to bars at night, right? That's part of their lifestyle.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So tortoises, they are more in desert climates, so
oh,
these
okay.
guys usually do not hang around water. Now, I mean, obviously to get a drink. And then tortoises do a lot more burrowing underneath the ground, so in very loose soil, loosey sandy soils. Turtles, no, don't really do much burrowing.
So she likes this hot weather, I guess.
She does, yes.
That's cool.
And these guys, yeah, they can really handle a lot of the extreme temperatures that a lot of turtles can't.
Uh-huh.
Now, if it does get really terribly hot, what they'll do is they do like to hide in the wild. What they would do is they would burrow into that loose, soily, sandy material.
Yeah.
But our turtles here, I mean, they might hide under a log or, of course, like a painted turtle go in the water.
Go in the water, yeah. So. Sure. Huh. Well, she is a handsome girl. And
yes.
She's giving me the eye right now.
Excuse me.
This is to my audience. Excuse the scratchiness. I'm struggling to find where the pot is supposed to go so I can hear myself. There I go. I can hear myself. All right. And she really does like being handled, doesn't she?
She does. She does. My wife's students, oh, they love her a lot. And she gets played with a lot.
What do they do for fun? Do they just kind of lay around?
Yeah. I mean,
oh, okay.
I mean, she may want to. You know, like I said, she loves crawling around the building in our house. But some tortoises, some of the larger species, so I've known people, they'll give like small balls and they'll kind of play
push
with them
around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
But well, I have not seen her do that.
But nobody here in Ohio would find one of those in the wild.
No, the only way if someone were to either lose it on accident or
yeah.
say, I don't want to take care of it, which
push
has
it
happened
yeah.
a lot with not just tortoises, but a lot of exotic or domestic
like
animals.
Alligators
yes.
and snakes and
yep.
stuff. Yeah.
Yep.
Now, would she die if she was put out in the wild?
Yes, especially here in Ohio.
Okay, because of the cold?
Yeah, the cold. She would not survive our winters very
okay.
well. Now, if it was like Florida, yeah, she could probably survive in places like Florida, Louisiana.
Who would she be prey for?
So probably out there, I would see a lot of birds, a lot of birds of prey, a lot of eagles out there. There are some kind of like coyotes, but they're not coyotes. there are a lot of other predators out there in that region.
How would a bird, well, I suppose they would go for the soft parts that are sticking out.
Right? Yes, now like bald eagles, not with the tortoise, but with turtles, what they'll do is they'll grab them and they'll lift them up really, really high, and then they drop them.
Break the shell.
Yeah, break the shell, kind of like a walnut kind of instance.
Yikes, that's kind of cruel.
I know, it was pretty graphic.
She didn't like that at all.
She didn't.
I think she heard you.
She did. Well, you know, it's funny you said that. Turtles actually don't hear very well.
Oh.
They don't really have a ear, open ear canal. They do hear very low frequencies and vibration.
Vibration, yeah.
And snakes are the same way, too. They can't hear. They feel just those vibrations. But lizards do. They do have an ear canal.
So it's kind of stupid when people tell you make a lot of noise when you're out in the woods so that snakes will run away from you.
That's right. Now, if you stomp, they'll feel that. But, yeah, if you're screaming, I mean, they may feel the vibration, the low frequency from that. But, yeah, really, they don't hear you.
And they don't speak English.
No. And something really cool about turtles and tortoises, actually, they don't have any muscles in their tongues. So you know how you and I can stick out our tongue and wiggle it? Well, turtles can't do that, or tortoises can't do that.
So the tongue is just to help get their food down.
Yeah, basically.
And they can't even do that if they don't have any muscles in it.
No.
It just slides down.
Yeah, it just slides down. But that beak is used to help crush food. And now for her, she would be eating a lot of...
She didn't like being tapped like that.
No, yeah, you got to do some slight movements. Or then a lot of times, she'll kind of tuck in her shell. But out in the wild, she'd be eating a lot of different berries. And a lot of them, for this species, they actually don't eat a lot of protein. Because versus a lot of turtles, they do eat like small fish, small critters. These guys, not so much.
Okay.
They're primarily a herbivore.
Okay. So where would they find berries out in the desert?
Well, there's some. It's not really a true desert, but it's kind of more kind of mountainy area.
Yeah.
There's bushes. Yeah, there's probably some blueberries out there, things like that.
She looks like she's staring at me.
She is, isn't she? Yes.
And she's waving.
Yes. Yeah, she likes her head scratched.
Oh, well, who doesn't? Well, she's... a great critter to bring in, and I was glad I wasn't afraid of her.
Yeah, I figured you would like her.
Yeah, I do like her, and I didn't even mind the snake you brought in, the little brown snake that you brought in, but I'm not a big fan of big snakes. I had a black snake poop on me once.
Oh, yeah?
It was kind of surprising. We were at the Columbus Zoo, and
the
lady brought out a black snake to show to us, and I was with a bunch of children, so I had to be brave.
Oh, yeah.
And she laid it in my hands. And
goodness.
I didn't scream. I just kind of held it and stared at it. And then all of a sudden, part of the skin separated and something came out. Now, whether it was poop or something else, I don't know, but it did land on me.
Yeah. Now, it's funny you said that. And I actually learned this for Jonah. So remember we talked about how this species is primarily a rock climber?
Yeah.
So if they're on their back, I know you hate this, but if they're on their back and they can't really... move a lot. What they'll do is they'll poop or secrete a lot, and then it's kind of like a lubricant. And
oh,
then they
sure.
Kind of wiggle and then.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah, they do.
Well, and I've offered you an aquarium that she could live in if she wanted to. My aquarium, by the way, folks, my aquarium sprang a leak yesterday, so I had to go buy a new one.
Did it leak in your house?
Yes, it did.
Oh, boy. But that was fun.
On the carpet and on our wooden floor, and my wife was not happy with it. She said, you go get a new one now. Okay, dear.
Did you go to Petco?
No, I went to the local animal place, pet store.
Yeah, there's Petco right there by Colt.
No, that's a... that's a national chain. I went to
the local one. Yeah, right there by Kroger's.
He was very good and got a good price, better price than at the other. You know, it's kind of interesting. Both Walmart and Meijer's used to sell fish and stuff.
Yeah.
They've stopped doing it.
Yeah, I heard it was just pricey.
And they had to pay, they had to pay help to go get the fish and stuff. So rather than being customer service... They just decided to do away with the customer service and save themselves some money.
Yeah.
But the people at the local pet store were very friendly and really helped me out, and we found an aquarium that was priced well, and now we have a new home for our fish.
That's good.
They don't have anything in their home because I had to take it all the water out of it really fast because it was leaking, and I had to get the fish into it really fast. So anyway, I got some work to do when I get home today. Okay, well, and her name again was
Pumpkin.
Pumpkin. Okay, so when I see you, I will have to refer to you by your name, Pumpkin, because you do look like a pumpkin.
She does. I think that's why my son named her that.
Yeah, kind of roundish and kind of sweet, like a pumpkin.
Yeah.
All right. Now, one of the things that you and I, the show we actually did without Pumpkin before the show, we talked about. I have a desire to help the monarch butterflies.
Yes.
And you'll talk to us about the monarch butterflies. There's a problem right now. But why don't we talk about what we can do for our monarch butterflies and why we need to right now?
Yes.
Okay.
So unfortunately, actually this week or early last week, a lot of you, especially if you're on social media, may have saw that our poor little monarch butterfly was just declared as an endangered species.
In America only?
In America.
Okay.
Yes. They're only found in North America.
Yeah, but they do go down to Mexico.
They do, in Canada.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what Canada's status is. I assume they're probably going to be considered endangered as well.
Okay.
Too. But yes, unfortunately, a very most common species, especially if you're older and listening, that you probably, saw them a lot.
Oh, sure.
Growing up, and unfortunately.
Probably stuck a pin through one.
You probably. And unfortunately, their numbers just keep dwindling and dwindling. And I was telling Glenn earlier, I was kind of reading their chart, their population chart. It kind of go up and kind of go down. And I was just expecting it to happen. I just didn't know it was going to happen this soon.
Yeah.
I assumed it was going to take 5 years or so. But, I wasn't expecting it to happen this year.
Do you think the global warming has caused some of that?
There are so many factors that are affecting this monarch butterfly. Global warming's one. Us applying the chemicals, not on our property, but also agricultural properties.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Yes, it's targeting a pest species, but a lot of times these chemicals are affecting non-target species, butterflies, amphibians. I mean, all sorts of different kinds of wildlife. And then, unfortunately, too, if we're destroying a lot of these natural landscapes, rather for development or agriculture, and we're destroying that vital grounds for them, for their young and for the adults, we're getting rid of that that host plant.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, too, we're destroying a lot of the native plant species that the monarchs are thriving on.
Oh, milkweed used to be everywhere. It is no more.
It's
around.
It's around, but yes, it keeps dwindling down, too. Yeah.
And that is its host plant for the babies, right?
Yes, for the larvae or for the caterpillars. Mm-hmm. And then I was telling Glenn earlier, too, that's all we focus on, all the milkweed. Yes, that's important for the caterpillar stage.
Mm-hmm.
But the adult stage, yes, we'll drink nectar from the flowers from the milkweed, but it's kind of like their last resort.
Mm-hmm.
But they want other native nectar-bearing plants, mm-hmm. A lot of things in the aster family, or the Asteraceae group. So there are a lot of native asters, Joe pie weeds.
What is a Joe pie weed? Pie weed. Like?
Yeah. So it's got it's very fluffy and it's a pink flower. We have a spotted and a hollow Joe pie weed. And they can get tall. They can get up about 5 feet tall.
Fluffy like milkweed is kind of fluffy.
Kind of,
too,
when
it flowers or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also, too, we're destroying, areas for them for their resting grounds. I was telling Glenn earlier, not only here in America, but also where they migrate during the wintertime down in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
There a lot of that land's protected, but there's some illegal logging down there.
Yeah.
And
they burn stuff, the logs that they don't want, right? And that kills them, I'm sure.
Yeah. So unfortunately, because of those things, it is causing the monarch population to decline, and now we're to the point that now they're endangered species.
Well, I've been a tree hugger for dozens of years. Oh, decades. I was kidded when I was in my 40s, and I'm in my 70s now. I was kidded a long time ago about being a tree hugger.
Yeah.
But I really think people should start thinking about that more. Now, my wife and I have always liked the idea. We plant a garden. We don't step on ants when we're walking on the sidewalk. Yeah. We like our critters, even though I'm not real fond of having critters jump up on me, but we like our critters. Well, about a week ago, my wife and I have been talking about this. We didn't know that they were going to become endangered, but my wife and I decided we were going to plant some milkweed so that we could help the monarch butterflies out. Yeah. And I thought, well, I looked it up, and people were telling online, you know, you use the old-fashioned milkweed, don't use the fancy ones, and so forth and so on. But you've got a different idea on that. What type of milkweed?
So there's about 8 different species of milkweed here in the state of Ohio. The one that you see all over around road ditches, farm fields, it's a common milkweed.
Yeah.
And as I was telling Glenn earlier before the show, I said, yes, they'll use it. It's kind of their last alternative. It's like, if I have to, I'll lay my egg here. But okay. If you were to line up every species of milkweed.
It's the Motel 6 of.
Yes, basically.
Okay.
If you were to line up all the different species of milkweed, like in a line, they usually want to go after some of the other species, such as purple and poke milkweed. Swamp milkweed is also another very good one. And I was telling Glenn earlier, the problem with common milkweed, yes, it grows in a lot of good conditions and it's probably easiest to grow, but it can be what's called aggressive. Mm-hmm. So even though, yes, it is still native, they just sometimes can outcompete some of the other native plants.
So are the other colored milkweeds, are they native?
Yeah, they are native. All yes. Right. We actually have ones called a spider milkweed. That one's really cool.
I like the name.
The leaves are just very, very thin, and they kind of look like spider legs.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, where would I buy milkweed if I wanted to?
Yeah, so luckily in this day and age, there are a lot of native plant nurseries here in Ohio.
What's the one that you're associated with?
Yeah, so it's called Natives in Harmony, which is out in Marengo and Morrow County. There's Scioto Gardens, I know, in Delaware County. There's also, it's called Leaves for Wildlife. That's also in Delaware County. So those are the ones that are locally around our area. But yeah, if you go on Google and type in Ohio Native Plant Nurseries, they should have a good list.
So if I went out to Natives in Harmony, and you occasionally help out there, don't you?
I used to. I left in May. But yes, okay. I still help, you know, I promote them, and I love, you know, what they're for over there.
If I go out there, and it's only, 10 miles away from here, I think.
It depends where you're at.
Well, that's true. Yeah. But if I go out there, would they have it in stock right now?
So, I don't know, especially with now the monarch being considered in danger. I don't know if they're being flooded right now.
Yeah.
With people out buying all
I
the
could
milkweed.
Call, right?
Yeah, definitely call. But like when I used to work there, I mean, yeah, we always had milkweeds.
Okay.
But remember, like we talked about, please, yes, if you're going to focus on monarchs, yes, get the milkweed, but get other nectar-bearing plants that the adults. It's because, like Gail once told me, you know, yes, the milkweed's great for the caterpillars, but why do that if you're going to starve the adults?
Yeah, of course, that's true. Yeah, but you say asters.
Yeah, there are a lot of native asters.
And asters are really pretty.
Oh, they are. And there are a lot of them are in the fall, the late summer, early fall blooming.
Right, and I need some late summer, early fall. I have about a 10-foot diameter, what I call a perennial garden. I occasionally do have cosmos in it. Now, the reason why I put an annual like cosmos in it is because cosmos get very tall, and I need something at the back to balance everything out. So, and they're beautiful right now.
Yeah.
But I have plenty of room. Well, not plenty of room, but I have some room where I can put two more species in, and I think I'll see if I can't get some asters and some
swamp milkweed. And I was telling you earlier, yeah, I would recommend swamp milkweed because they're on the less aggressive side than common milkweed is.
Well, mine are kind of trapped because I have a border around them, but I understand the aggressive plants can get out of the borders.
Oh, yeah.
They go underneath, they go over the top and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But I also mow the grass around it, so they're not going to go too far.
Yeah.
They'll be chopped down pretty quickly. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to doing that. I bet my wife will like that, too. Well, she'll say she does anyway. Sometimes I do some things my wife doesn't like, but she says she does.
And you know what? We're talking about the whole endangered thing. I know it's sad news, and you know, but you know, we have a great chance and opportunity to turn this around.
Yeah, I hope we do.
You know, and especially, you know, and I'm trying to pick on you because of your age, but you especially probably remember, you know, things like the bald eagle.
Sure.
You know, that they were endangered.
We thought they were going to be gone.
Going to be extinct. And look, they've made a comeback.
Yeah.
Bobcats.
Yeah.
They were our first animal in Ohio to be on the endangered species list. And they just recently just got off the list.
Well, it's easy to blame us old folks. But I'll tell you what. The old folks always get blamed. When I was young, we blamed the old folks.
Yeah.
I remember when I was really young, well, when I was involved in some protests, we thought anybody over 30 was not to be trusted.
No.
Well, now I'm well over 30, more than double 30, and I know that I'm probably smarter than I was back then.
Yeah.
And I think there are a lot of over 50 people that really are thinking about this sort of thing. Global warming cannot be ignored anymore.
No.
And it's killing our animals, it's killing our plants, and it probably will kill us if we allow it to go too far. It's not being a silly tree-hugging liberal, it's just being caring about the things around you.
Yes, we all need to step in.
We need to have pumpkin. I have a nice world that, because pumpkins are going to live longer than both of us.
Yeah,
we need a nice place for a pumpkin to live.
Yeah.
Milkweed, I'm not expecting that I'm going to change the world by planting a little milkweed, but if I give one or two more monarchs a place to lay their eggs, and those eggs have places the following year to lay their eggs, it grows exponentially.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's like the little old Dr. Seuss used to say, unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing's going to get better.
Oh, I love it.
It's my motto, being the naturalist.
And I do love I don't understand why people don't love our animals and our planet more than they do. I guess some people love money more than they love the
I think
world.
The big thing is change.
Yes.
Yeah. It's going to require a lot of us to change lifestyles. Like you said, greed, money. I mean,
when you said the big thing was change, I thought you meant nickels, dimes, and quarters.
Oh, yeah. No, just changing lifestyle.
I got you. And it's not hard to change your lifestyle. When I was young, when I was your age, I was not always a flaming liberal. I pretty much have been liberal most of my life, but I wasn't a tree hugger, and I have become one, and I don't find that as a dirty word anymore. I find that as an honor, and I think we should try to find ways. Get out to the tall grass trail and walk along it and see all the beautiful things on both sides. It may not be a lush garden of gorgeous flowers and stuff like that, but it's nature. It's there are trees, there are all sorts of different shapes of leaves, there are all sorts of critters running around out there.
Absolutely.
And it's what, 12 miles long?
12.4 miles.
Yeah,
one way, so there and back is 25 miles.
You can do a whole marathon almost. Well, do you have are you getting a lot of people out there now?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Kind of the diminishing of the COVID virus, has that helped you get more people out there?
Well, actually, when that all first started, that we
had to blank out, right?
Our attendance doubled.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, because they had nothing else
to
do.
Yeah, there was nowhere to go. Yeah.
And you could wear a mask and walk along the trail.
Yeah. Dan, my boss, like back in March when it first started, just from the trailhead to the first mile mark, he counted about 120 people.
Huh.
Out on the trail.
At one time.
At one time.
My, that's that would be crowded almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you haven't been out to the Tallgrass Trail, tell them how to get out there, because it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, so to start, if you want to start at the trailhead, if you're in downtown Marion, keep there on Center Street. Keep going all the way, then you'll see where the whirlpool, where the windmills are, and you'll go around the corner and then turn right there on Marion Williamsport. Then turn left there on Holland Road, and there you go.
I go straight down. I go out Center Street, and I stay straight on Kenton Avenue.
Kenton, okay.
And I go out to Logan Tire.
Oh, yeah.
And that's and where then, I turn left, you and you go right there. Down that way.
Yeah, they're on. It's yeah, it's Silver Street, but then when you turn left, it's Holland Road. So.
And the people at Logan Tire are friends of mine, so that's why.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, how did your... I wanted to ask this a while back. How did your fair show go?
Oh, at the fair? Yeah, it went really well.
What did you do out there, and how many people would you say you got to talk to?
So we have a tent there at the midway by the grandstands, and we just had a table, and we just had different skulls and pelts and all things that people can find out in nature, and we allow people to come up and touch and feel and ask questions.
Did Pumpkin get to go out
there? No, Pumpkin did not get to go.
Too hot, probably.
Yeah.
Did any of your live animals
go out there? Okay. No. Yeah, that's a long day for
them.
Yeah,
and it's hard to maintain the audience from treating them poorly, I assume.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't intend to, but little kids will pick up a...
Oh, yes.
Turtle and throw it on the ground without thinking about it.
Yeah, but I would say, like, on an average day, we probably talk to at least 50 to
good.
Over 100 people.
Good. Did you get any volunteers to help you?
Yes, yes.
Excellent.
My park board and then Jonah, our intern. So he got to do a couple days because, unfortunately, he was involved in the 4-H. He showed animals. Mm-hmm. He was also the fair king. This
oh,
year.
Well, congratulations.
So he was very busy at the fair.
That's why he didn't show up today. He was too big for us.
That's right. That's right. He's Marin County royalty.
Well, what I meant by did you get any volunteers is did you get any new volunteers to help you out, like out at the Tallgrass Trail, cleaning it up or anything like that?
Oh, you mean when we do projects and
yeah,
all that? Yeah, we've had actually a couple newbies this year that have actually messaged us and say, hey, we see, you know, trees are down. You know, we'd like to help. Like when we got that really large storm that
yeah.
came through. Last month, yeah, we actually had about two or three people that kind of join on.
Did you get a lot of damage during that storm?
At my house?
Well, I know you did.
Yes.
You got a tornado that landed in your house.
I did.
You told me about that the last time. It took out your barn, didn't it, or something like that?
Took out a barn, took two cars. Oh, yeah,
oh,
did all kinds
goodness.
Of things.
But out at the Tallgrass Trail.
Yeah, Dan thinks over 100 trees
oh, my.
Were knocked over.
Oh, geez.
During that storm.
Did it hurt the lake in any way, like the trees falling into the
no,
lake? Or
no, it didn't hurt them.
Do people swim in that lake? I was wondering.
I have not seen anybody swim. I wouldn't swim in it because of the beavers.
Oh, yeah.
No, the beavers won't attack you. It's just beavers can carry things.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you ingest
other than trees, they can carry things.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes,
they can
okay.
carry parasites.
Yeah.
And there is an actual disease. I can't remember the technical name, but the fancy name is called the beaver fever.
Oh, that's the fancy name.
Yeah, that's the okay. fancy name.
There's a song named the beaver fever, I think. But go ahead.
So, yeah. So I just tell people, you know, hey, just be cautious. And it's funny. It doesn't affect the fish or anything because I always get people when I tell them that. I say, oh, can I eat the fish? I say, yeah, you can eat the fish. It's just, it's about when you ingest it. I said, it's just sometimes it can affect us.
Yeah. Well, now, but there's no prohibition against if it's really hot, jumping
no,
in the lake.
No. We just, you know, just be cautious because yeah. of that.
Well, you allow people to go out there with non-powered boats.
Yeah.
So sometimes you might flip one over by accident.
Yeah. 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 Yes, absolutely.
So. All right. Well, now, tell us where the other, we've got about 12 minutes. Tell
okay.
us the other natural sites that you kind of supervise in this
yeah.
area.
So we have the Paradise Nature Preserve. That is outside of the village of Caledonia.
Okay.
We have the Greensboro Nature Preserve, which is right on the corner of Route 203 and Route 4.
Okay.
If you remember where the old power plant was located?
Vaguely.
Right, yeah, right across from that. That's where that park is located.
Okay.
And then our other one is the Myers Woods Nature Preserve, which is on Marion Wadott County Road, right across.
You had something there just last week, I believe, didn't you?
No,
no.
Ago?
Oh, okay. Never mind.
That's probably my favorite park.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we have one in the Village of Caledonia, not accessible at the time, but we are getting a step closer. We have been talking to some people about trying to acquire some special grants to fix that old Bowstring Bridge. So, but it's going to take time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to happen here. You
but
know.
You can walk to it, right?
I mean, you can walk up to it right at the edge of the Olentangy, but then after that, there's no way
you can't
to
get across
get,
it.
You
yeah,
can't
okay.
get across it. So, but yeah, I mean, I'm excited that we're at least, you know, got this process, you know, kind of started. Mm-hmm. But it's going to take probably at least 3 to 5 years or so or more to, you know, acquire or to able to get into that park.
Well, Pumpkin will be around.
That's right. But, you know, like Tall Grass Trail, it took us almost 20 years to get to the Harding County line.
Yeah. Now, is there any talk about Harding extending that?
As of right now, no.
No? That's too bad. It would be nice to be able to go all the way to the lake, I think. I don't know if you can go to the lake on that, but it would be nice to extend that.
Yeah, Harding County is going to run into a few more problems than Marion County did. One of the problems is past Kenton, a lot of the farmers tore up the railroad and made it farmland, even though the railroad technically still owns the property. And then the other problem is, past Piper Station, there's a gentleman, he built his house, and the trail would go through his front yard. and I don't know if this story is true or not, but apparently he said that the railroad sold it to him for a few cans of meat, so we don't know how, you know, legal it is or what. So just stuff like that, you know, Harding County's going to have a little bit more bumps in the road.
Yeah, I got you. Well, there's always a few bumps in the road for progress.
Oh, yeah. I think it'll happen. I just think it's going to take the right push and the right people. You know, there was a little hesitation at first when Tallgrass Trail started, but I think people really saw it as a great asset for the community.
Well, it costs money.
It does. It does cost money.
Anytime you have to put money down where your mouth is, it takes a little bit longer.
Yeah, Tallgrass Trail was about a $4 million project.
Is that right?
Yeah, $800,000 was just donations from the community.
Well, the paving of the trail itself must have been the major cost, was it not?
I mean, between that, but actually one of the biggest costs was right there at the at Riley Road, right there at the tunnel, which is right at the end, basically.
Oh, okay. I've never been out to the end. Okay.
Yeah, so what it was is that was the old railroad tunnel. Well, then once the railroad was done, they basically destroyed the tunnel and filled it up with dirt and then built the road on top of it. So when we got there to that line, we had to make two choices, either make a tunnel or make a wooden ramp that goes all the way around. But then we found out it was going to cost just as much to do both projects. We're like, well, let's just put a tunnel.
Okay. Right, so that's what you have a tunnel out there now.
Yes, we have a beautiful tunnel.
Okay.
So, the way to get there, I just tell people, if you just want to view the tunnel and that's it, there's kind of little areas off of the road you can park there. Now, Riley Road is a very narrow road. Uh-huh. So I wouldn't do it during harvest season or planting season, or, you know, when you see the farm equipment out because the farmers are trying to get through. But, yeah, if you park there at Riley Road, I mean, you can, you know, see the tunnel. Huh. Do things like that. Riley Road. Or if you want a good workout, at our last parking lot out in Decliff, it's about 2.5 miles one way. So either walk or bike it.
Decliff.
Yeah, Decliff. It's a little blink-eye town. It used, you know, back in the day, it used to be a nice little town, but over time, it's nothing really now.
Huh.
So, you know, you drive right by it, and you blink, and you went through it.
Yeah. Now, are the critters that we have in this area, do they aggravate the farmers? Do we have critters bother the farmers?
Tons of animals.
Now, are the farmers allowed to, let's say,
shoot them?
Yeah.
Depends on the animal. Yes, okay. They are allowed to. Now, if it's out of season, they have to go to the Division of Wildlife, and they do have to acquire special permits, like deer, geese, things
but
like
that. They don't have to have a license if they get the special permit then. So, like if you have a deer eating your apple trees and you have an orchard and you want to stop them from eating the apple trees, so you want to harvest them, as a nice euphemism for shooting them dead, but you don't have to go get a tag to get rid of
them. You know, I don't know how that process works. I don't know if you have to. Since it's technically out of season, I don't know. That you would have to ask the Division of Wildlife. But yes, I do know you have to acquire a special license that has to be approved by the Division of Wildlife, and I think you're only allowed so many.
Now, do critters like you've told me time and again that we have lots of coyotes.
Yes.
Do they destroy property?
Not really destroy property. I mean, if you got a poultry farm.
It might destroy your poultry.
Yeah, they may, you know, and your young livestock, very small sheep, things like that.
Yeah. Now, yeah, that's kind of interesting. Do
groundhogs? Oh my! They're a nuisance species. So you can hunt them year round. The only time you can't hunt them is deer gun season.
Okay.
But other than that, you can hunt them year-round.
But groundhogs do what? Just burrow holes?
Well, a couple things. First, they're eating the plants, so that's one of the damage that they're doing. The other thing, as you just mentioned, so they're making those burrows.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is those burrows can get at least 10 feet deep and almost 20 feet wide.
Wow.
So they're making that topsoil very loose.
Yeah.
So when you've got this heavy combines and tractors that are coming through, then a lot of times it caves in and like a pit trap, and some people have died from that.
Really?
Because, you know, they'll fall and it can roll over and kill a person.
My son, when he was coaching baseball out in California, he had a couple of kids turn ankles in one of their caves or whatever you call those things. Burrows, yeah. They would just step on it, not know it was there, plant their foot, and it would go down. Yeah.
And that's, too, if people with livestock and horses also don't like
groundhogs. Of course, horses.
Because they're running through, as you just mentioned, they'll twist their ankle.
Oh, my. Well, we will try to avoid those. Now, I'm trying to think if there are any other animals. Snakes probably don't bother the plants.
There's a lot of garden pest species and a lot of insects.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, insects, yeah. Insects. Now, the June bugs are kind of happy right now.
Yeah, they're always bad.
Do they destroy plants?
Oh, yeah.
I know they destroy them in my backyard.
Yeah, they can demolish a little orchard or what, especially if they're out of control.
Yeah, okay. So, but we don't really want... I've been not using any chemicals for probably 20 years. We try to find things, other critters that'll eat those critters.
Yes.
And what are they called? Ladybugs.
Well,
are
eating the aphids.
Aphids, yeah. I call them walking sticks, but they're not walking. Anyway, they will eat bigger critters like that.
You're talking about like praying mantises?
Yeah, praying mantis. That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. They will eat bigger insects.
Yep.
Does anything eat those June bugs?
Some do.
They have a pretty hard case on them.
They do.
I assume birds do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You can buy those. There are no chemicals, but there's a bag.
Yeah.
And they produce a pheromone, and then they go in and they drown.
Yeah. What a sad way to go.
Yeah.
But farewell.
Farewell.
All right. Well, we're going to be back here in about, I don't know. It's kind of a short break. We'll be back in about 15 minutes from now. But while we're gone, we're going to ask you to put your thinking cap on. And what was the question we were going to ask? Answer it?
We kind of did answer it. But we...
Okay.
We can still ask.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to ask you pop quiz of one of the answers that we've already given you. What is the native plant for monarch larvae? Is that what they're called?
Or how about, what is the host plant?
Host plant.
Yes, for the monarch larvae.
Okay.
Or the caterpillar.
And if you can answer that, we'll give you a pair of tickets to Drew Hill, Raheem Devon, to go to the state fair, and it gives fair admission, so you not only do you get to go listen to the concert, but you get free fair admission, and that will be Sunday, July 31st at 7:30. But we need you to pick those up today if you're going to pick them up, okay? So we're going to break now. We're not going to take any calls until we come back, and I'll ask the question again when we come back, and maybe you can win those if you care to. First caller gets them, okay? And I do have the other two sets of tickets for Judy Summers and Diana. For Nelly and Foreigner, if you want to stop in between now and 1 o'clock, I will be glad to get those to you, too. You're listening to On the Air with Glenn Coble, and today our special guest is James Anderson, the Marion County Naturalist, and we're talking about all the good things you can do to help your planet and your community out by being a good naturalist yourself, and we'll do that. We got about 1 minute, and I'm going to I'm going to break away, and I'm trying to think how I can vamp myself off of here without sounding too stupid. I guess I'm just going to sound stupid. Buddy, my executive director, says I do that a lot, so I've got to quit doing that. But we'll be back here. We got about 25 seconds, we've been talking about monarchs and how they have now become an endangered species in the United States and maybe elsewhere. We're not quite sure. And we hope that you will not catch them and put them in a little glass jar. Let them fly.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for politics. For Republican presidential nominee